Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Lessons from Bill Maher. This is Wretched Radio, like a blind knife that finds a squirrel in the shed twice a day. Bill Maher, a classic liberal, not a progressive fellow, not a libertarian, although he's kind of getting close. A classic liberal concerned about the division in America. And perhaps you're wondering, what does that have to do with the church? I think, as the culture goes, so does the church. Haven't we learned that from poll after poll, statistic after statistic? The world starts thinking like this, and it creeps into the church like battery acid and has the exact same effect. Bill Maher is referring to a little poll that was taken by a congresswoman asking, hey, do you think it's time for a national divorce? Ben Shapiro thought, yeah, probably a good idea. And whilst I definitely am interested and concerned for the state of our nation, it concerns me more to consider the state of the church. We are seeing divisions everywhere. We are seeing former friends, now enemies. We are seeing people that we used to partake of with their teachings and enjoy now being set outside of the camp because they don't agree with us on this or that. And at this rate, a two-party church, not a chance. It'll be every man for himself. This will be the fellow on the deserted island with three sheds, his house, his church, and his old church. That's where we're headed if we do not learn some lessons from Bill Maher.
We want to halt this descent into civil war. We have to stop hating each other.
I wonder how much of that is going on inside of the evangelical church, where there's a whole lot of hating going on, at least on the internet.
And the reason I say that many won't like that answer is because the act of hating people you don't exactly agree with has become so ingrained, so routine for so many people. I think if they stopped, they'd miss it.
I wonder if that isn't just true for the world, but for us also. The Christian community responds pretty much the same way that secularists do when it comes to reading a headline, when it comes to reading a subject line, when it comes to reading the description on a YouTube video. If it's sensationalistic, if there's gnashing of teeth, the views go up. I know it. We've seen it here. If we put up a title that's rather sensationalistic, especially if it's dish on somebody, well, the numbers go up. When it's just plain Bible teaching, the numbers don't. I wonder if Bill Maher could help us.
It's become so normalized now, we don't even notice how often someone online is wishing someone dead. Anyone we disagree with about anything is evil incarnate, and every argument goes from zero to homicide.
Bill could be on a Christian talk show right now. Now, maybe it's not death that we think of, but it's definitely not too difficult to find somebody being labeled a heretic, a false teacher. They have never been orthodox because they disagree on a non-essential cardinal doctrine. Are we too much like the world these days?
You don't have to be about anything important or consequential. You insulted Gossip Girl, prepare to die.
You don't agree with my take on this legislation? You don't agree with my attitude toward this politician? Well, then We cancel each other.
There's a moment in my stand-up act these days where I ask the audience rhetorically, what should happen to all of the people who enabled Trump when he was in office? And about half the time, someone shouts out, kill them or hang them.
Wow.
You know, besides the fact that wishing people dead is a terrible place for your mind to be, if you're wishing them dead, you can be sure they're wishing you dead.
Okay, let's move away from homicide to just attitudes toward one another. That when we cancel somebody, in a sense, that is akin to murder. What? Don't forget what Jesus said. If you call your brother a fool, you're in danger of the judgment. John says, if you are angry at your brother, if you are unrighteously annoyed with them, it's committing murder in the heart. When we cancel one another, set one another on the sidelines, pretty soon the sidelines are populated and the field is going to be pretty bare. But it's the same effect of murder, isn't it? You just want people out of your life. I just don't want to deal with these people. I don't want this person entering into my orbit. We can do that in our families, and we can most certainly do it online.
You want a real war, liberals? Really? You think you're going to win the I want you dead war? You're not. You're going to lose. They have way more guns, and they know how to use them.
Okay. We could have edited that out, but I rather enjoyed it.
And with all due respect, no one can do hate like a right-wing conservative.
Now, this is interesting. This is going to be a challenge for Bill Maher going forward. How does he, with one side of his mouth, lecture people to be nicer, and then out of the other side of his mouth, make caustic remarks like that?
This past Saturday, I was in the great city of Pittsburgh, PA, and the man who drove me in from the airport was from Bosnia. He was there in Sarajevo in 1984 when they had the Olympics. And he left sometime after that city became a war-torn hellscape. And he said to me, what I am seeing happening here now is exactly what I saw in Bosnia. Next-door neighbors who despise each other. He was telling me that hate on this level can only be sustained for so long before becoming actual war.
One wonders if that war hasn't already broken out inside of the evangelical community. One wonders.
Last year, a warehouse blew up in Beirut, Lebanon. Everyone agreed it was an accident. But last week, there was a march calling for the removal of the judge investigating the incident. And it turned into a street fight with automatic rifles and rocket-propelled grenades. Over that most emotional of all issues, warehouse safety. Because when people despise each other, it doesn't matter what the issues are. When someone hates you, they don't hear what you're saying.
Ouch. If you or I are guilty of going after somebody, now, I'm not talking about identifying those that cause division to avoid them, to label them. That absolutely has its place. That's not what is in view here. This is the fighting with people online over things. Wow. I would like to think we wouldn't be fighting over them in Sunday school, where we could be having a glazed donut together and seeing each other face to face. And yet, online, look out, it's a Christian Donnybrook.
Alone want to work with you on an issue. Today's Republicans don't have issues. Oh, they have issues.
There it is again.
Just not like the ones they used to have. Balanced budget. They care about that about as much as they care about the new season of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Kind of true, I hate to say.
Owning the libs is the only issue. Obamacare wasn't a horrible or radical policy.
It was
desperately needed by many of the people who fought it. But it came from the people they hated.
That's an interesting observation. Not the only one to make it. Recently, a high-profile theologian said, that's precisely why some people don't want to take the jab. They don't want to agree with people they normally disagree with. Not persuaded of that, but there are times when we draw lines that frankly shouldn't exist. And I wonder if we don't need to learn some lessons from Bill Maher. Hold on. Oh, ow, ow, that hurt. Now, Bill Maher, we're going to see how he does in actually practicing what he's preaching. I'm sorry, practicing what he's speaking, because I don't know that he's going to be able to find that zone. I think the zone is with comedy. Sure, you can make fun of this or that, but as soon as it becomes harmful and nasty, that is a line that shouldn't be crossed. We'll see if Bill is able to find it, but let's forget about Bill Maher for a moment and let's consider the Christian church. How are we doing? Are we perhaps less thrilled to be a part of the community of faith than we once were because, well, this person didn't give a thumbs up to that tweet? Maybe, just maybe, it's time for us to learn exactly how we might learn to respond better. Courtesy of Bill Maher, next on Wretched Radio. Chances are pretty good you love Dr. John MacArthur's Master Seminary in Los Angeles, California, because they equip men to rightly divide the word of truth. But here's the replication strategy. The men from overseas come to Los Angeles, they get equipped, and then they return to their home country to start up a little mini master seminary.
All of these guys that are doing this, and there are 100 of our missionaries out there now doing this kind of training, they all come from the Master Seminary. And as a result of that, their theology is solid, sound. It's the same. So there's a unity to all of this. They take basically what they experienced in training at the Master Seminary and Grace Community Church. They train pastors the way they were trained, and they train them to handle the Word of God accurately.
Amazing. Would you please consider sponsoring your own seminary? You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
You know, there are a ton of things people partner in. Some have business partners. Some have workout partners. Everybody needs accountability partners. Then there are partners in crime, which I don't recommend. You've got marriage partners, which I do recommend. And of course, we can't forget the Wretched Gospel Partner. Our gospel partners make what we're able to do here at Wretched possible. Without you guys, there is no Wretched. You have faithfully and consistently helped Wretched reach millions of people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, we humbly thank you. And if you haven't done so, would you please prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner with Wretched? You can know that your generous gifts will be faithfully stewarded away. So would you, number one, please pray for us? And number two, would you also pray about how you could support Wretched as a monthly gospel partner? Get more details on how you can do just that right now at wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate.
If you like to support ministries that focus on sharing the gospel, you will love Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids get loved on and they hear the gospel, like Armic from the Republic of Georgia.
2 years ago, I was invited to a camp organized by the Tomorrow Clubs. Tomorrow Clubs helped me see Jesus was my God and Savior. If it hadn't been for the Tomorrow Clubs, I would never have learned about Jesus.
$30 per month will be sufficient for a Tomorrow Club to operate, gather the kids, and preach the gospel to them in places like Georgia and Ukraine and Romania and Russia. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 529 AD, Benedict of Nursia establishes his monastic order outside of Rome. His written code of conduct, called the Benedictine Rule, becomes the most influential guide for centuries of monasticism in the West.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Together for the Gospel isn't. This is Wretched Radio. How did you react when you perhaps saw the announcement that Together for the Gospel, an organization that attracts thousands and thousands of believers from around the globe to listen to preachers they love, to worship with one another, they just announced, we've decided to make 2022 the final gathering of T4G. Do you know why they disbanded? Me neither. And that's why I'm not going to talk about it, because I don't know. If I might, I would suggest this, and only because I've been on the record for saying this. We need to be together for more than the gospel. I think the more robust a theology statement is, the more unity you will have. That sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? Hey, let's just make it about Jesus, and then we're all going to get along. Hey, no, you don't, because you all have a bunch of self-interests. You have very little in common, and when the rubber meets the road, in the context, say, of a local church, look out. People just vamoose. When something gets introduced that they don't like, they're out of there. It is robust theological statements that keep people together. So I've always thought that was a deficiency in Together for the Gospel. But why they've disbanded, I have no idea. The only information that they gave in this press release is that Al Mohler will not be joining us in order to focus on other priorities and ventures at this point in his ministry. This has been an ongoing discussion for many months. Dr. Mohler called a few weeks ago and said, I love you, brothers, but it's time. And with that, they've decided, I don't know if it was because of Al Mohler, if that was just a part of it. I don't know. I'm not a part of Together for the Gospel. So I don't think that it's right for me to try to speculate why this thing, unless I've got some insider information, of course, but I don't, so I won't. But I will ask us all the question that every secular psychologist repeats about 75 times per session. How does that make you feel? When you read that Together for the Gospel is no longer going to be together, how'd you feel? Were you glad? Because, hey, let's be honest, there's been a little bit of compromise going on there. They're not exactly my circles. They're not precisely my cup of conservative tea. So, good. Oof, that should not cause us to rejoice. I grant you, there's some issues that have been swirling in the Christian community now for a few years. But we shouldn't rejoice that a robust, mostly conservative theological organization is disbanding. This is not a good sign. This is a bad sign. And I wonder how many Christians are rather triumphant now that Together for the Gospel isn't. Was I a part of it? Nope. Did I ever go to one of their conferences? Nope. Ever invited to speak? Nope. But I'm not rejoicing. We shouldn't rejoice any time we see something orthodox bite the dust. And yet, I suspect you can find plenty of people who are rather gleeful about the demise of Together for the Gospel. I, for one, am not. I wish that they'd repaired any of the fissures that were increasingly cracking there. And that's what I'd prefer, but I'm not glad that they've busted apart. As if somehow now everybody who was at Together for the Gospel is no longer my brother. That's ridiculous. Bill Maher. That's right. Bill Maher observing the acrimonious conversations that are taking place in our world. And it's not just on the internet. It's neighbor against neighbor, a new level of vitriol that we have not seen for a long time in this country. Some people are saying we're getting pretty close to civil war attitudes with one another, and we're headed toward a cultural divide. I would suggest to you, while that is seemingly true, it's not all that different inside of the Christian church. We're fighting over stuff that just shouldn't cause us to be so nasty toward one another. Bill Maher, of all people, trying to bring down the temperature of the debate, offers perhaps simplistic, yes, but perhaps a little bit of advice that might just help you and me not constantly be going to the mattresses over everything. Take it away, Bill.
So, how do we stop Trump and the coup?
Now, that's his context. He believes there's a slow-moving coup. Set that aside just for a moment.
Take it down a notch. Can we start with that? Is that really so hard? I know, it would be easier if everyone bad would just die. But that's not a plan, and they're not going to. It's up to all of us, right, left, and center, to fix this by de-escalating. So here's everybody's first assignment. Captain Kirk was blasted into space last week. And yes, you could use that to make a point about how we need to tax the super rich more, or how we still have problems on Earth, or toxic masculinity. Yeah, you could. But how about this? Don't. Just enjoy it.
Not everything needs to be a skirmish. Not everything demands a comment, especially when we so often know so little about what's happening when we read a story on the internet. I go to these websites every day. I'm going to the Christian headlines, the religion news. I visit all kinds of websites that have Christian stories. And I realize, hey, I'm not getting like the full picture here. That you can't in a news story. It's just not the way it works. Unless you're going to read a book on the subject, you're not going to get the full picture painted. And yet we see people commenting about what they read in the article and going after minutia. How's about this? We don't. How's about we start actually practicing some Christian discernment? Question: have you ever seen any website that deals with the rules of discernment? I'll bet you haven't, because I haven't found one. I wrote about it in Judge Not, a book I wrote probably 5 years ago, that you've got two ditches in evangelical Christianity. You've got those who are absolutely allergic to judging anything. They could be the rankest of heretics, not a word. On the other hand, you've got those who just seem to have a perpetually filled clip. They just never stop firing. How's about we start practicing some rules of discernment, like asking, do I know why? Together for the gospel. I don't know why they broke up. So how can I comment on it? Why would I post something on it? Why would I say something snarky about it? Why? Furthermore, this isn't a good story. This is a bad story. I mean, maybe this will help. That all of a sudden, out of the blue, Shepherd's Conference is not going to take place anymore. What? Whoa. What happened? Well, it's probably not something great. I mean, it could be some valid reasons, but it's like, well, that's not good. That's a loss. And it's a loss that a movement that was better than most mainline Protestant denominations is disbanding or not meeting anymore. I need to start practicing some rules of discernment. I need to start at a place where Bill Maher cannot. Bill Maher has no formula, no basis into which he can tap all of this. He can't even figure out why this is happening. I think I know the answer. If I were on the Bill Maher show, hold on, let me just... And if he were talking about this subject, I would ask him, why do you think, Bill, what's changed? What's different in our country? Could it possibly be that a culture which is influenced by the predominant cult has changed? The nuns, not Sally Field people, the nuns, non-believers, are on the ascent, and Christianity is on the wane. I think it's 57% in this country now claim to be Christian. 57? Okay, so like a huge number of those people are other things. But the growing statistic are the people who don't believe at all. That has an effect on a country. If you don't like the fruit that you're seeing, it's because the rotten root of secularism is bearing it. But I'm probably not going to get to share that with Mr. Marr, who seems to be in a land right now where he is trying to figure out where exactly he belongs. And I'd like to actually take a lesson from him and maybe, just maybe, be encouraged if we don't like the acrimony that we see on the internet, that we bring it down by practicing rules of discernment. Do I need to talk about this? Do I know the details of this situation? Do I have anything that I can contribute? Will this be helpful or will this be hurtful? Am I just venting this? Have I prayed about this? Rules of discernment need to be considered before we go about the business, not just blogging or posting or commenting online, but when we get together and have conversations about other believers, could we perhaps do better than the world and Bill Maher and practice Christian discernment? This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, here's the term of the day, the woke term of the day, misgendering. And it's apparently a much bigger crime than you may realize. Also, don't try to argue DNA and biological birth genders here, because hurt feelings, well, they matter way more than your DNA facts. At least in the world of woke, they do. Representative Jim Bangs from Indiana was suspended over the weekend by the gatekeeper of woke, Twitter, for intentionally misgendering a senior health and human services official, Dr. Richard Levine, who goes by a female name that I refuse to call him because, well, he's a man. Anywho, Representative Brooks appropriately tweeted that the military recognized Levine as the first female four-star admiral, and he's actually a man. Well, Twitter apparently does not like facts, especially when they go against their woke propaganda, so Banks, well, he's out. He's been suspended because he misgendered Levine. But I kind of disagree with that one, Twitter. I think Levine has done all the misgendering himself. Well, last Friday, as you may have heard, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to halt the Texas heartbeat abortion ban, but they did agree to hear oral arguments on November 1st on the Biden administration's challenge to the law, which is a rare move by the court. In the meantime, Texas is upping the ante by requesting the high court consider overturning Roe versus Wade, which was the 1973 decision that legalized abortion nationwide. Not quite sure what's going to happen from the oral argument standpoint on November 1st, but let's all hope it's Joe Biden himself making the oral arguments in the case. In a too little too late move, the National School Board Association has apologized for a September letter that it sent to the Biden administration requesting parents and those opposed to public school board rulings be labeled as domestic terrorists. The letter said masks and CRT debates were driving discussions at school board meetings around the country. Now the NSBA is backtracking after facing severe backlash. In a memo to members last week, the NSBA says the language in the letter to Biden went too far. I would say it did go too far. I mean, requesting the White House label parents that are concerned for their children's safety and education as terrorists, that's a communist move. And it went way too far. And according to a recent survey published by United Against Hate, which is a human rights group in India, more than 300 incidents of persecution against Christians have taken place in just the first 9 months of 2021. The attacks have taken place across 21 states, most northern states in India. International Christian Concern believes that the continued attacks on believers may result in the highest incidence of Christian persecution recorded in a single year ever. India ranked 10th on this year's Open Doors World Watch list of countries where Christians experience the most persecution. Please, as we tell you almost daily here at Wretched, please continue praying for all of our brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called our Passover. During the first Passover, God spared those whose doors were covered with the blood of a lamb. When we trust in Christ, we are covered by his blood, so that we are spared from God's wrath.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Lessons from a politician? This is Wretched Radio. Representative Mike Johnson from the great state of Louisiana is going to model for us how you and I can be gentle. Interestingly, there are people who are passing around the clip that you're about to hear to go, look at how he got him. Look at how he got him. He tore him up. And, well, frankly, I think he did. But as you listen to it, I think Mike Johnson, a fellow he used to be with the Alliance Defending Freedom organization, I interviewed him probably 20 years ago, a good brother from Louisiana who is now a rep, he was grilling Attorney General Garland, concerned that maybe, just maybe, some decisions are being made out of the AG office that have a conflict of interest. You'll hear those details. And so Representative Johnson, he wants some answers. And I was struck by this, not just because of his persistence to keep the fellow on trying at least to answer the actual question as opposed to just talking, pointing it. And so he was persistent. And he was just, nope, I got to ask you this. Nope, I'm going to come at you. Didn't answer my question. But listen to his tone. I think he personifies gentleness. Now, there's a good chance you could hear this and go, well, it seems a little aggressive. Well, gentleness doesn't mean that you can't ever be aggressive. It's just how you go about the business of doing it. Tone. Gentleness is power under control. Representative. Mike Johnson has some power. And in this congressional hearing, presumably he has some power at least to reveal what might be going on that could be shenanigans in the attorney general's office. He is a fellow who's got a staff. He gets to vote on legislation, and yet he presented himself like a gentle man.
It also concerns us that your actions may have been motivated by your family's financial stake in this issue. Published reports show that your son-in-law co-founded a company called Panorama Education. We now know that that company publishes and sells critical race theory and so-called anti-racism materials to schools across the country. And it works with school districts nationwide to obtain and analyze data on students, often without parental consent. On its website, the company brags that it's surveyed more than 13 million students in the U.S. It's raised $76 million from powerful investors, including people like Mark Zuckerberg, just since 2017. My first question is this.
Before we get to his first question, I have to confess to you, if I were in that seat, I might think my tone would not have been nearly as restrained. Okay, so your son, well, isn't this coincidence? Your son happens to own a company that profits from the decisions that you're making. What do you say about that, Pally boy? And that's probably how I'd go about doing it. Mike Johnson was actually, I think, personifying gentleness, even as this did get a little bit heated. But notice how he keeps it under control.
You're familiar with Title V of the Code of Federal Regulations, which addresses the rules of impartiality for executive branch employees and officials?
I am very familiar with it, and I want to be clear once again that there's nothing in this memorandum which has any effect on the kinds of curriculums that are taught or the ability of parents to complain about the kinds of...
I understand your position on the free speech of parents.
Position.
Wait just a minute. The question is, the thing that has concerned many of those parents that are...
Did you catch that? It wasn't a shout down. He was forceful, but he doesn't sound agitated.
Going up to these school board meetings, the very basis of their objection and their vigorous debate, as you mentioned earlier, is the curricula, the very curricula that your son-in-law is selling. So to millions of Americans, I mean, my constituents, I was home all weekend, I got an earful about this. They're very concerned about that. Subpart E of that federal regulation says an employee of the executive branch is discouraged from engaging in conduct that's likely to affect the financial interest of someone close to them. Your son-in-law, your daughter, clearly meets that definition. And so the question is, did you follow that regulation? Did you have the appropriate agency ethic official look into this? Did you seek guidance as the federal regulation requires?
That's a great question. because you can make a decision as an attorney general without being influenced by your son's business. You could still make that decision because you think it's the right decision. What Representative Johnson is bringing up is the process of making that decision. Did you run this by other people? Did you check this out? Because, hey, there could be a whiff of scandal involved. So that is why there have been bumper cars or bumper rails put on making decisions where somebody that we know or care about might benefit. That's a good question. He doesn't get an answer. And so he gently persists.
This memorandum is aimed at violence and threats of violence.
I understand that. But did you seek ethics counsel before you issued a letter that directly relates to the financial interest of your family? Yes or no?
This memorandum does not relate to the financial interests of anyone.
I take that as a no.
Memorandum is against violence and threats of violence.
Will you, Mr. Attorney General, will you commit to having the appropriate ethics designee review the case and make the results public?
I have to confess to you, I would love to talk to him. I'd like to interview Mike Johnson again. All right. Representative, how are you able to stay this controlled? The guy's given talking points. That's one of the most agitating things, especially when you've got a limited amount of time and somebody probably leading the hearing that's antagonistic toward your position and your line of questioning. And yet he holds it together. I'd love to know how, maybe fruit of the spirit.
This memorandum is aimed at violence and threats of violence.
I understand your talking point. You're not answering my question, Mr. Attorney General. With all due respect, will you submit to an ethics review of this matter, yes or no?
There's no company in America, or hopefully no law-abiding citizen in America, who believes that threats of violence should not be prevented. There are no conflicts of interest that anyone could have.
According to you, but sir, with due respect, that's the purpose of the federal regulation. We need objective third parties to review our activities. You don't get to make that decision yourself. It doesn't matter. You're the chief law enforcement of this country. This raises questions in the minds of millions of Americans, and your impartiality is being called into question. Why would you not submit to a simple ethics review of that?
One wonders if the liberal talk shows, which are pretty much all of them, are going to use these clips of Mike to go, look at how he was treating the attorney general. I would say the same thing. Yeah, look at how he's treating him. He's being persistent. He should be. I think that he's got some reasonable questions that he'd like to have answers to, and he seems to be getting nothing but talking points. And yet, I don't think they're going to be able to say that he's a jerk. I know they do that with some of the conservative guys in Washington. I just don't know how they're going to be able to do it with a fellow like this who is practicing Christian gentleness. It doesn't mean that the conversation can never go up in intensity. It doesn't. Gentleness does not mean that that is forbidden. What gentleness means is that I'm not losing it. I want the answer to the question with my child. Son, you continue to not be disclosing the details of where you were last night. I am going to find out. Now, if I find out from you, it will go better for you. If I have to find out from somebody else, it won't. Son, what were you doing last night? Okay, that's still cranking it up, but it's not. Now tell me the truth, you little hooligan. If I have to go find out, just wait until you haven't felt the belt until I get old. Okay, that's not power under control. Gentleness does not mean being a sissy. It means actually being a gentleman. Isn't it funny that we actually use that term to describe men who aren't, it's not like they hold their teacup with their pinky finger out. It doesn't mean that they hold their silverware rightly or even chew with their mouth closed, which I wish you would if you don't. Instead, it's having power, having authority, and not losing it, not snapping, not yelling, not biting, not being angry toward, not sounding like you'd like to put a dagger in their heart, Instead, it's having it under control. How do we get that? How do we grow in that? Well, the obvious answer would be the means of growth: preaching, praying, reading your Bible, fellowshipping, ordinances. But this needs to be done in the context of family and the local church, not one or the other, but both. Because you're going to get different perspectives from different people, because your kids might not be able to be honest with you if you say, "Is your papa gentleman?" But your buddies at church can if they love you and you've been working together in the field and you've been fellowshipping with one another. We need help with gentleness. Perhaps, especially in this day and age of social media. Are we a member of a local church that is helping us to grow in gentleness? This is Wretched Radio. If and you don't mind me saying so, I resonate with this sentiment from Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries.
To be able to look across America and see this Holocaust of abortion and know that people like you are doing something about it. It's one thing to say that we're against abortion, but it's really another to take action.
Do you resonate with that sentiment? Then please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. Ultrasounds save lives. For $28, you will be providing an ultrasound that 80% of the time causes the mother to choose life. That's really doing something. May I ask, how many babies' lives could you save for $28 each? Preborn Ministries also preaches the gospel to the mommies and the daddies, and you can learn more at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
I know you didn't think we could do it, but hey, we did, and we've over-delivered on Road Trip to Truth Season 2. It's here now, and it's on sale at roadtriptotruth.org or wretched.org/roadtrip. Don't miss out on all new topics and new experts with, of course, the same great host, John Fabares. Road Trip to Truth Season 2 and all of our resources are made possible by the support of our gospel partners. If you're a gospel partner already, we want to say thank you. Your generous gifts have made it possible for Wretched, Road Trip to Truth, Wretched Worldview, our drive-by series, or our new upcoming television series, Transform, to be created and reach millions of people all over the world. Thank you so much to our gospel partners. If you're not already a gospel partner, would you prayerfully consider becoming one? Just visit wretched.org/donate to find out how you can support our goal in reaching the world with the gospel. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Let's play a word association game. I will give you several words and several short phrases, and you need to figure out what they all have in common. Are you ready? Go. Telehealth. A huge PPO network. $3 billion of medical bills. Double the satisfaction rate. Saving an average of $500 per month. What do all of those words and phrases have in common? The answer is MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing. Your family will likely save on average $500 per month. And according to their surveys and polls, you're going to be twice as happy with MediShare than you were with your traditional health insurance. Would you like to know what your family will be saving every month? Please call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Attributes of God. What does it mean to say God is righteous? He is the standard of what is right and good. He is in strict adherence to his moral law, and he is the source of righteousness through Jesus Christ for every sinner who repents and puts their trust in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Church news on Wretched Radio. Most important institution on the planet. And control a nation.
Not.
let's take a look and see what's going on inside of the church. Shall we? Stories from around the globe. Florida pastor, cool, arrested for human trafficking. That's just delightful, isn't it? Apparently, they did a big old sting in Florida. Florida's doing a lot of good stuff. This pastor, 44 years old, recently launched a church in Riverview. Throughout the operation, our detectives created undercover profiles online and chatted with men who believed they were speaking to minors. Created false advertisements for acts that should only be done between a husband and a wife. And undercover female detectives posed as streetwalkers. Cool. A pastor was arrested. Want to be careful that we use this to remember that we want to make sure that our pastor has some sort of guardrails on his life, too. Having said that, I don't want to go to the extreme. Yeah, see, look at that. Look at all the pastors who are pervs. No, there are many godly men that man the pulpit every single week that aren't online doing human trafficking. Having said that, there is nothing wrong with making sure that the pastor, like anybody else, is accountable. And a good pastor doesn't care. Go ahead. Everybody go look at my computer if you need to. There might be some private emails you want to somehow, you know, deal with so that people don't read somebody's confidential information if you're doing some of that counseling online. But otherwise, the pastor should be an open book just like the rest of us. Let's make sure we don't get carried away with our understanding of the pastor being an absolute scoundrel criminal. Oh, this is sad news right here. This happened, I believe, last week. Great Britain, an MP, David, it's A-M-E-S-S, Ames? I'm sorry if I've got that wrong. Stabbed to death in a local church. All right, Jimmy, I haven't seen any follow-ups on this. I don't get British newspapers. Have you seen who's the fellow who did this?
I did not see that.
Just really stabbed him to pieces inside of a church. He was there talking about the life issue. 69 years old. He happens to be a Roman Catholic. A 25-year-old whose name was not released or possible motive yet. Well.
So.
Yeah.
He's there to talk about the life issue.
And he gets murdered.
And the guy's response, because he doesn't like that, is to take his life.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, now you're tracking. You're thinking like the world, my friend. Mm. Remember, whatever you can concoct that's bonkers will become reality, probably even by the end of the day. You cannot be dopey enough in your thinking without ultimately seeing it come to fruition somewhere on the internet. That's what happens the further and further people get away from God. Their minds get increasingly darkened. They don't love life. This is Bill Maher's, the information that he needs to figure out. Why is there so much fighting? Well, it's because Christianity in the West is no longer the dominant cult. It produced fruit. Now, if you're a liberal, you can argue, well, some of the fruit I didn't like. They made me feel bad about the way that I want to behave. Okay. You can deem that to be bad fruit. But there's been a ton of good fruit from Christendom. You know, hospitals, our political system, capitalism, commerce, loans, all of those things that help us to flourish, not to mention morality and values. It's not hard to track. You can actually just use TV if you want to track how the culture is following the predominant worldview. Consider what you watch on TV and the swearing that's involved in it that would not have existed 50 years ago for sure. They actually had rules about it. You just couldn't swear on TV. Just wasn't an option for you. Now, why? What changed? Do you think it's because Christians are going, more cursing, more cursing? No, it's the secularists that are demanding that. And now they're seeing the fruit of it. And as the entertainment industry continues to devolve into more raunch, they only have their worldview to blame for it, not Christianity. Cool. In Bilbao, Bilbao, B-I-L-B-A-O, Spain. I've never been to Spain. Not sure if I like the music. The Diocesan Museum of Sacred Art, it's a church of sacred art, housed a nativity scene featuring masked figurines and a Christmas star made out of masks and gloves and a crib made out of toilet paper rolls. That's a church doing that. That was last year. The author of this article, Eric Utter, asking, what's it going to be like this year? If that's the way that they were treating the greatest miracle of all time, the infinite getting stuffed into a finite body, what's it going to look like this year? Last Christmas, the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Turin, cloth masks covering everyone's faces. Nice to see the church being political, isn't it? Good to see him involved in telling people how to deal with their own personal health. That is an issue, by the way. It seems to me pastors need to be thinking through really, really, really carefully. As we have realms of authority that we recognize as the church, we're quick to identify how that realm of authority can't come into our realm of authority. Hey, stay out. What are the realms of authority that we see in our culture? Government, church, family, you could argue employment, offices, businesses, but really biblically, I think the big three are government, family, church. And we rightly state, government, you cannot come into the church and mandate worship. However, we do say you can mandate some physical aspects, the building, construction, materials, how the drainage works. You can do that stuff, but you can't tell us about worship. We've got those lines drawn. And the line that I've drawn, and I think it's a good one, I don't know that it's a perfect one, there's a lot of scenarios, but I think a good line is the government can tell us physical stuff, but not spiritual stuff. Now, got to be careful with that, because if they say, for instance, you need to worship in this physical posture, we would say, sorry, that's crossing the line, because it's about worship. It's about spiritual matters, and you do not get to dictate those things. So with all due respect, stay out. I think we would do well to ask the same question about the limit of jurisdiction for the church, wouldn't we? Are we supposed to be controlling government? Furthermore, are pastors, our elders, supposed to be telling people inside of their family unit, inside of the family realm of authority, how to take care of their bodies? Or should they be telling us spiritual things, which I grant you could involve the body? Hey, you're using your body in a sinful way. You need to stop that. But that's also a spiritual, that's a theological issue. Should pastors be telling their parishioners, you need to take the jab? Should they be telling them you don't need to take the jab? I think that this would be a conversation that we should be having, because you are seeing some pastors do that on both sides of the aisle. And I wonder if that is actually just not their jurisdiction. Now, what if somebody asked the pastor, hey, what's your opinion? How do you see this deal? Okay, they may or may not choose to disclose it. But I wonder if, because of our understanding of realms of authority and their limitations of each one of those realms, that pastors and elders should be thinking really slowly about telling people what to do with their bodies. Have you had that conversation inside of your church? Back to the nativity scenes. Displays such as these are blasphemous. However, what they are trying to cover up and why is ironically very revealing. It sure is. The birth of our Savior, that's what they're trying to cover up. Oh, I know. They're trying to preach a little message. Hey, wear a mask, social distance, take the jab, whatever. But the irony of the whole affair is that they're actually covering up one of the foundational miracles in all of Christianity, that God became flesh and dwelt among us, and these churches are using it to make a political point. With all due respect to those churches, maybe stay inside of your realm of authority. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.